Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Lift your worship.
Good morning and top of the morning to all our listeners. Yes, a lovely morning, a beautiful day the Lord has made. Yes, you're tuned into Radio Africana and this is Morning Dew. Okay, lovely people, once again it's a pleasure to be here with you on another episode, another session, and we just want to commit our session to the Lord. Eternal Rock of Ages, the Ancient of Days, the Lover of our soul, the Bishop of our soul, the one who is our Redeemer, the one who cares for us, the one that fights for us, the one who is faithful, the one who is, you know, consistent, the one of whose mercies were not consumed. We just want to acknowledge you this morning. We ask that you take total and absolute control. We ask for the abundance of the presence of your Spirit to lead, to guide, to teach us, to bring us to a place of understanding. And we ask, Lord, that at the end of it, Lord, may we, having been together to fellowship, be able to give you all the praise and all the glory. This we ask in Jesus' name. Right, good morning, everyone. And we'll continue where we left off last week. We started a new session. We're looking at being led by the Spirit. And a couple of scriptures just to remind our listeners who are not with us, like a recap. We looked at Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 was a key verse. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Okay, so as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And it says, as many as believed, he gave them power to become the sons of God. You know, so these are very key scriptures. We also looked at Galatians 5 and a couple of verses there. Galatians 5 was talking about what it meant to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, you know, and we had that as our foundational text from last week. So today we want to go further. We're taking a slight detour, but just to look into, you know, more depth, what it really means and why it's important, and of course look at the master's example. So being led by the Spirit is obviously a trait associated with sons of God. As we behold him, we become like him. So we're, you know, by our accepting Jesus Christ, we're trusting to be led by the Spirit to come into a process where we become sons of God. All right, so we come in as children. We come in not knowing much. We come in to be instructed. We come in to yield ourselves to the leading and guiding of the Spirit so that we can be taken through a process to become sons of God. And so the power of God is released in this process. Again, as we go further, we'll be looking at some of the dynamics, why it's important to believe, what is required for the power of God to be released into the situation and circumstance. All right, so remember how we started off. We're talking about the fact that we have to have an understanding of the fallen nature, okay, of man, and everyone is born into that fallen nature, and as a result of that fallen nature, there are certain attributes and traits. And so we're talking about the attributes and traits of those who have given their life to Christ, those who have come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, so you do not literally, you know, do anything to have the attributes of the fallen nature. You're born into that. In the same way, when you accept Jesus Christ, you become born again, and so you're born into the family of God, and you are coming to terms with a new set of attributes. So that's what we're trying to understand here. So for that, you know, trait, that new nature in Christ, you become a partaker of the divine nature. There's a process you're going through. There are traits that must be exhibited, and there is a trait for mature sons and daughters. Okay, and so this is what we're looking at. We want to break it down slowly as we go. All right, so it's important to understand why this leading, and let's want to look at a particular text in Matthew chapter 9 verses 27 to 30, but we'll come to that at some point. Now, it may be hard to believe. It says, to as many as believed, he gave them power, as many as received him. All right, and sometimes it's hard to believe that most of us, what we have done in our life has been initiated by ourselves, very important, and not by the Spirit of God. So, you know, this clear demarcation, that thing that you have done, that thing which you're considering, what is triggering, what is motivating, you know, and who told you or instructed you to do it. So I'm going to say that again. It may be hard for some of us to believe, but most of what we have done, you know, in our lives has been initiated by us, solely by us, okay, and not the Spirit of God. And so one established, there's what the mind can instruct, initiate, you know, suggest, and there's what the Spirit is leading you to do. There's a clear difference. And so oftentimes, once the ball is rolling, once we're, you know, living our lives, we have started our little journey, all right, having already started doing our own thing, That's usually when we pray and we ask God to bless what we have initiated. So there's a clear difference. What we've initiated and we want God to bless, or what God has instructed us to do. And so that is the way we are working, and there's a clear difference, and we want to establish that. It has to be established very early in your walking, okay? We just cannot assume it's the will of God because it seems right, and it's a good idea. No, the question is it God's idea? Okay, is it God's initiative? Is it God's will? That's so important. So we must learn to put the brakes, to stop ourselves, okay, by default for a while, and learn to wait until the Holy Spirit speaks clearly to our hearts. And so when we're coming from the old nature, our default mode, this is something that is difficult at the beginning. But we have to have a clear demarcation, what is of God, what is not, and be able to wait to hear the voice and the leading of the Spirit. And then we can walk in and do the mind and the will of God. And there is some relationship between the will of God being established and power being released to do anything. So for you to be anointed and empowered by God to do His will, there must be an establishment that thing which you want to do is His will and is authorized at that moment, then the power will be released. So important. Wherever we're doing what is not the will of God, then the power of God is not available because it's not the will of God, or it may not be the right timing. All right. So we're going to look at a couple of scriptures, like I said, to help us buttress and really get our head around this understanding. So believers must learn to let the Holy Spirit lead them. Okay, so when you take different examples like healing, you know, in services, you know, like manifesting the power, oftentimes you might have a minister who doesn't understand what we're talking about here, and he decides, well, I'm going to pray for all those that are sick, I'm going to empty all the wheelchairs here, you know, and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And after you have gone through, we can record what you said, and then we look at the evidence, we look at the outcome. It's not exactly what you said, and sometimes it can be very embarrassing. What if nobody gets healed? What if nobody stands up? You just made a declaration from your head. There was no approval from above, and you want the release of heaven's power in that scenario. Well, guess who's surprised now? You know, so lovely people, I just really, it may be a tough topic. Sometimes we don't want to talk about this thing. Or people are saying like, why weren't my prayers answered? There's some dynamics we need to understand about believing, about establishing the will of God, and the subsequent release of power, the approval from above concerning that declaration that you are making. The Lord will help us to understand these things in Jesus' name. Okay. Now, there's also the other part. There's the people observing what you're doing. There's the people looking at you. There are people that believe that you said or you spoke with authority, and now there's nothing. Balance out this conflict, this contradiction in terms. You said one thing and nothing is happening, and then we're to believe that you do you have authority to say what you're saying? Do you have the power to release into that situation? There begins to become all these questions. And you don't have to be a minister. Anybody that wants to stand to decree the word of God or to speak the word of God and to want to claim that they have the, you know, approval to release authority or power, well, it will be tested. So it's as simple as that. Okay, and so this is what we're talking about here. And it only makes sense that if you want to do the thing properly, if you have proper approval, if you want to be an authentic minister, an authentic child of God, an authentic son of God, then you want to do what is right. Your yea will be yea. The Bible talks about Samuel, and his words never fell to the ground. But there's a process behind all of this. There's revelation that needs to be understood. And so we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And it's very important, this sensitivity, this walk with the Spirit, this leading, you know, by the Spirit, to see successful results in every sphere of our life, whether that is healing, whether that's in our family, you know, our business, whether it's leading in the church, the congregation. Only the Holy Spirit sees and knows everything that should be done. And that's why it's so imperative to learn how to follow his leadership. So this is just defining why it's important to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit if you want to be successful in any area of your life. Okay, so let's look at this classic example of being led by the Spirit that can be seen in the account of these two blind men in Matthew chapter 9. All right, so let's look at Matthew chapter 9. I read from verse 27. It says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him." So he was somewhere. We can take our time to study what happened before this particular time. Okay, and he departed. Okay, let's even take some time. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right, so let's just read 27 to 30, then I'll try to give us some context as to what's really going on here. So when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I'm able to do this?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were open. Now, you know, sometimes we read scriptures and I always say, journey into the revelation. What is this scripture revealing to us? What is the depth of revelation that can be, you know, gleaned from this scripture here? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So Matthew chapter 9. Okay, so we have two blind men. They had been on a journey with Jesus. All right, two blind men. So the first question me I was asking, and I just want us, we're just sharing here, we're fellowshipping. Okay, they followed him to the house. Blind men, they followed him to the house. Hello people, are we still awake? Good morning. Right, blind men followed him to the house. Blind men that, or did one of them have, it was blind in one eye, maybe it's a one-eyed blind man, but there are two blind men. I want you to think of their journey to follow him to the house. They can't see, so either they found somebody to guide them. It's not written in this piece of scripture here, okay, for them to journey, even if it was just 10 meters down the road. They followed Jesus. Think about it for some moment. So something is written in this story. They were where he was before. He left there and carried on, and these blind men followed him. How did they follow him? They must have sought some assistance, some help. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not written in this scripture here, but that indicates some initiative, some effort on their part to continue with Jesus. That, listen, we know you have power. We have heard. It reminds me of blind Bartimaeus. He shouted, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So you see the same kind of thing here. Two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." So they probably got the attention of other people around, got solicited some assistance from some people around to help them, and it's like, please, wherever that man is going, let's follow him. And as they were being led, okay, by physical help, they kept crying and shouting and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was coming to the house, so you can see they were journeying with him, okay, and when he came into the house, then we are given another account. The blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Believest thou that I am able to do this?" Now let's just, with that little explanation or trying to open up situation, so these two blind men heard that Jesus was walking, okay. So they heard that Jesus was walking by, all right? They heard, and then they waited for him to heal them. However, Jesus walked right past, never stopping to heal them. The two blind men were upset. Okay, as we're looking at the story, it tells us, and when Jesus departed, the two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." So they were disappointed. They made an attempt. The word "followed" is the Greek word, I have to spell it for you, akolutheo. It's akolutheo. It means to follow after someone or something. Okay, so they followed after someone or something in a very determined manner, okay, and purposeful manner. They had an agenda. They had a goal. They wanted to get to Jesus, and they needed to be touched by Jesus. They wanted him to bless them, to heal them. Even though these two blind men were, you know, like we said, not able to see where they were going. So you can recognize that they made a lot of effort, and they were not keeping quiet. They were determined to follow Jesus until they got his attention. So initially, on the way at the beginning, no attention. The verse continues to tell us that they were crying out. The word "crying" in Greek also is the word "krados," k-r-a-d-z-o, and it means to scream, to yell, to exclaim, or cry out at the top of your voice. In other words, they were screaming as loud as possible to get Jesus' attention. Try and imagine this dramatic picture. Try and imagine the determination in the hearts of these men. You know, in blind Bartimaeus, they told him to keep quiet. So you can imagine they're making noises, like that's the only, because they cannot see, that screaming, that was really trying, notice us, pay attention, we need your help. Okay? And I just want us to think about it, because sometimes we read these scriptures and we're not looking really in the full context. So here were these two men desperately wanting to be healed. They were screaming, they were shouting and yelling, trying to get Jesus to notice them. But he just continued walking as though they were not even there, pursuing Jesus relentlessly. They grouped along in their darkness, or were led by somebody. You know, it could not be easy. Still screaming, still yelling, you know, and crying out for him to heal them. Now, Jesus couldn't have missed these two blind beggars because they were yelling. They were shouting. And yet, he still didn't stop. I'm getting you listeners to think about this story. So they just kept screaming at the top of their lungs over and over again. "Have mercy on us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy on us. And Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy." So, you know, this scripture, when you look at it in detail, you become perplexed, because you imagine, but why didn't Jesus just acknowledge these two blind men? I wanted to know, like yourself, why immediately turn around and heal them? They were so determined to get his attention that they followed him all the way to the house where he was staying, crying, "Son of David, have mercy." Finally, Jesus came to the two blind beggars and asked them a question. "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they answered, "Yea, Lord," as we have read in the scripture. He touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." But why didn't Jesus stop and heal the blind man when he first saw them? I said something a few minutes ago. I want to slow down and explain it properly. There has to be an establishment of the will of the Father, an approval from above, for power to be released into any situation or circumstance. There has to be the faith of the one that is releasing the power. There has to be faith of those that want to be healed. Without going deeply into, you know, too much dynamics on faith, which is important here, there's the element of believing. If thou can believe, all things are possible, the Bible says. And so that was Jesus' question to them. Do you believe I am able to do this thing? And on the strength of them saying, yea, Lord, he said, be it unto you according to your faith. So they had faith to believe, and he released the power, knowing that the will of God was established in him, and there was faith for these people to believe, and so heaven will approve the release of power. The missing link here that, you know, often may not be clear, maybe Jesus was waiting to get clarity and approval of that establishment, not only of the will of God, but that it was the will of God in that moment. Are you with me? So this is a classic case where, though he is anointed, though he is the Son of God, though he came to establish the will of God, it was important that he's being led by the Spirit, checking with the Spirit, that not only is the will of God established, but that it was the will of God at that moment, so that power can be released. You will remember several times, just that I don't have the scriptures right here, where Jesus talked about it was not his time. You remember the Bible said that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he came out, you know, in this the power of the Spirit. There is an administration of God's power. There is an administration when it comes to understanding the will of God. And so whatever it is we are doing as children, we need the leading of the Spirit that knows the will and the mind of God at any time. And that's the important thing I want to establish in our session here today. And I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. You know, so he touched their eyes, and according to their faith, he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So, we can learn a lot from this very simple case. Jesus evidently did not sense the anointing to heal at that moment. Otherwise, he would have stopped and laid his hands on those men. However, this didn't stop the blind men from receiving. It was as though Jesus said, I don't sense the anointing to heal right now. Right? So you're going to have to receive this in your own, okay? And be it unto you according to your faith. So the only explanation for the fact that Jesus didn't stop to heal the two blind beggars at that time, that the Holy Spirit was not leading him to heal at that exact moment. All right? So the good news is that the two blind men could use their own faith to be healed anyway, and they were healed. But as far as Jesus ministering to release power, okay, he had to make sure there was an establishment of the will of God, that what he was doing is the will of God, and it was the will at that moment. The timing is also critical. Okay, so for those who were led by the Spirit to heal, you know, he healed them with a perfect 100%. All those who in Bible stories, all those whom the Holy Spirit led Jesus to heal, they were healed 100% success rate. The Bible describes his healing ministry this way. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. But it says, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. We see this in Luke chapter 6 and verse 19. Let's read that carefully. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. Okay? They were all determined, like the blind men, to touch him. For there went virtue out of him. Power was released out of him. And he healed them all. It's so important. Who owns this power? There you go. There is the owner of the power. there's the owner of that grace and thing that you are having in your life, right? You need approval to utilize power so that it's not abused, misused, okay, or will not be misunderstood by the people around you, you know. So, you know, sometimes we see when healing virtue is flowing, everyone got healed. But when it wasn't flowing, Jesus didn't attempt to heal. It's so important. Ask any minister, they will tell you. They know when they're under the anointing. And they know when they're just speaking in their own strength. As you mature in the work of God, you will understand this thing. Even sometimes when you are not willing, when you feel like you, if the anointing comes upon you, you better do whatever the Spirit is leading you to do. Amen. You know, and the Lord will help us to understand this thing. We'll take a break at this point. We're looking at our series, Being Led by the Spirit. We've just looked at the classic case of Jesus, our example. And we'll come back after the break and look further into what it means to be led by the Spirit, the importance of believing the one that the Lord has sent, believing the word that you have written and consumed and you meditated upon, and how that affects you being a virtue that can carry and release power into any situation or circumstance. See you after the break.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From the beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, everybody say, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. Always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the
everything we
Good morning, top of the morning. If you're just joining us, we've just had a break where, yes, continuing our session, being led by the Spirit. Very, very interesting session we're doing here. Very, very vital trait of the children of God, sons and daughters of God, those growing and maturing in the things of the Spirit. And that's why we always ask for the presence of the Spirit, so that He will lead us and guide us, the Bible says, into all truth. Right, so we just looked before the break at a case study, an example from the Master in Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus had an encounter with two blind men. And we're talking about a very interesting journey. These men wanting to be healed, these men intent on their, you know, agenda, on their mission, you know, not giving up, pursuing, you know, relentlessly the presence of God, pursuing relentlessly a touch from God, pursuing relentlessly the virtue and the power that was coming out of, you know, Jesus, who they've heard about, you know. And I talked about blind Bartimaeus, very similar. You can't see, but you hear the crowd, you hear the things they're talking about, you hear that he had power to heal, you hear the miracles, you hear the things he had done. So these blind men obviously keyed into that this is an opportunity, I'm not letting go, I'm not. And even though at their first encounter with Jesus, he didn't seem to have acknowledged their presence, talk less of their crying and, you know, yelling and screaming, you know, at the top of their voices possibly. And we're saying here, peradventure, after we looked at the critical, there was a need for him to be sensitive to the leading of the period of the Spirit, to get an approval that this was not only the will of God being established here, but it was the right time. Okay, and again, the leading to release power. Now I want to just take us to another very interesting scripture, just to further buttress what we're, you know, trying to understand here. We're talking about being led by the Spirit, you know, knowing that the Spirit of God, we said, where do you think the power, all power belongs to Him? All power, okay, delegated power, you know, anointed power, authorized power, whatever, all power belongs to Him. Sometime we'll have a study on the different types of powers and the levels of power and the levels of authorization and what it means to carry power and how to release power, what are the requirements, you know. But that's not our focus for today, but just be aware that there's such insights you need to be aware of. Okay, so we're looking here at another scenario. And this is in Luke chapter 5. So I want to read Luke chapter 5. And I'm reading from verses. Let me see. Luke chapter 5. And I want to read from verse 15 thereabout. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Verse 16 says, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So we see that there was a pattern in his ministry. Times he will come out from his, you know, solace, his time alone, his quiet time, and be thronged by multitude of people wanting to tap into the virtue, you know, the grace, the power that he carried. All right, and we're looking at another scenario here in verse 17. It says, now it happened on a certain day, so one of those days, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It's clearly stated, the power of the Lord was present. I want to be sure, I'm sure you will agree with me, Jesus too will have been sensitive to know that the power of God is present. Amen. I hope we're getting this, people. And behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, all right, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, okay, because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling or the roof in the midst and before Jesus. And verse 20 says, and when he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. Praise the Lord. And we know that that man was healed. Of course, the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemously? They want to find something to say. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And then when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, okay, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? And then he goes on and says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. All right, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Amen. Okay, so a very interesting scenario there. Again, this time we're not assuming, we are not punctuating the situation to say that Jesus was sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. It's written clearly in the verse that the power was available to heal, and so he must have sensed. Okay, so the reason why this is so important, it shows that Jesus was yielded, okay, he was pliable, okay, he was sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Very sensitive to the Spirit's leading, the leading of the Spirit. Okay, he basically, you know, he yielded himself to the hands of the Holy Spirit. Although he was busy teaching at the moment, suddenly he felt the anointing shift. The power of God was suddenly present to heal the sick, and Jesus knew it was time to set aside the pre-planned program and go with the flow of the Spirit. All right, he faithfully followed wherever the Holy Spirit led. He did what the Holy Spirit told him to do. If the Spirit told him nothing, then nothing was the right thing for him to do. Okay, so it's so good that we have this evidence documented in the Scripture, you know, so that we can understand that even the master, the one who was teaching, you know, when you think about the disciples, he spent so many, you know, long days and weeks teaching them before they were able to carry power and utilize and release power. If you give power that is not fully understood to anybody, you are opening that environment to chaos, to destruction. You don't give a loaded gun to a child. No, you are opening up. That's what we're having with some of the things that we're going through in our world today. I'm not going to put any label on them, but you know what I'm talking about. Power without authorization is a dangerous thing. And so the Lord knows the power that was available to his disciples. He took time to teach them about power, to teach them, you know, the terms and conditions for the release of power, and the importance of when to release power, waiting and being led by the Spirit. and so it is for each one of us. You know, I just wanted to use that as a kind of really start off our leading in the Spirit, and the Lord by the Spirit will help us to have a greater understanding of walking in that power, what is required of that, you know, and bringing. And like I said at the beginning, if you go and just declare, oh, the power of God is going to come today, without the approval, without clearance, without establishing that's the will of God, you'll be left with your own statement there. You cannot force there to be an expression of power on the earth without the approval of heaven. It's so important. Whose power is it? Where is it coming from? You cannot utilize that delegated power without approval. The Lord will help us to understand this in Jesus' name. Okay. So, you know, basically, you would see that Jesus, throughout his ministry, you know, told his disciples about the need to completely depend upon the Holy Spirit. He told disciples that I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. We can see this in John chapter 5. And verse 30. John chapter 5 verse 30. So Jesus was really constantly reiterating that in his teaching to the disciples. Okay, so this same power, this same anointing, this same authority is given to you, but you must learn the principles, you must learn the process, you must learn what the boundaries are, the restrictions, you must learn what its proper use is for. You understand? It's not given to you to use anyhow. So power without authority is dangerous. I want to say that clearly. Think about, I'm trying not to be political here, but when you give ammunition, an AK-47, to pure illiterates, hello, you know, the rest of the population are at the mercy of these people who have power in their hands but no authority. There's no limitation what damage they will do and undo. And I pray that God will give us all wisdom in our times so that we can be, you know, his representatives. All power belongs to God. And that power that comes from intimacy and relationship with him is above every other power. Amen. And he said unto him, all power has been given on heavens, the earth, in every realm. Okay. And that's the power he wants to delegate and authorize for his children, the sons of God and the daughters of God, to utilize. But there's a very, very important need to understand the workings, the authority, the need of approval for there to be release of power, sanctioned from above. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So, going back to Jesus, it says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Notice that Jesus said, I hear, as I hear, I judge. So you see that Jesus was constantly listening to the voice of the Spirit. He several times, I do only what I see and hear the Father instructing. He was always talking about that, waiting for that divine signal to act. That divine, some of us will call it prompting, as a prompt of the Spirit to heal, to deliver, to cleanse someone who is sick, to release power into a situation. You can't just see a man standing, releasing that power, and is authorized to do so, and then you think you are going to copy him. Remember Sons of Sceva? They just copied everything the disciples had recited without relationship, without authority. Nothing is going to happen. And let me make it clear to you, the enemy you are dealing with is ready to fire you back. You are just opening your mouth. Who do you think you are talking to? The Lord will help us to be wise, you know, in this journey. Because you, oftentimes I see so many people, what do you think you are doing? You know, yeah, I'm going to bind the enemy. I'm going to, do you know the power that is reigning in a whole territory? Then you just stand up one day and you want to, the Lord will help us. No. So Jesus said, what he did, as soon as he was confident of the Spirit's direction to act, is that I judge, and my judgment is just. The word judge and judgment are both from the Greek word krino. It's a legal term meaning to make a decision on the basis of information. So you make your decision, you make your pronouncement, you make your declaration based on clearance, information, download, approval. I don't know if I'm communicating. Like the jury in the court has heard all the evidence in a trial, and now possessing all the information, they are going to make their final decision or their verdict, whether to go ahead or not to go ahead, whether the person is guilty or not. This word is used in John chapter 5 and verse 30 to let us know that Jesus never acted until he had all direction he needed from the Spirit, and we should do the same. Once the direction was given and Jesus had all the information he needed, then he could weigh it and then he decided to act. Because he acted on directions given by the Spirit of God, he was able to say that his actions were always right. They were always just. In other words, Jesus had 100% success rate because he followed the leading of the Spirit. Jesus didn't go with a pre-planned program. Hello, people. And acts mechanically every time he was confronted with a need. It's not mechanical. It's not emotional. It's not according to persuasion of people. They needed to learn from his example to depend on the leading of the Spirit, just as he did. Lovely people, we have come to the end of our session today. A lovely session looking at the leading of the Spirit, and we've started with some very clear examples from the Master, and he's teaching our dependency, you know, to be led by the Spirit, to receive directions, authorization, and establish that the will of God is in that situation as well. All of this must come into alignment for the full release of power. I pray the Spirit will lead us and guide us. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for insights. Thank you, Lord, for revelation. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to journey into the revelation of what it means to be led by the Spirit. Lord, I pray that everyone that has made up their mind to be led by the Spirit will be empowered, energized, and they will have testimony of the goodness of God, not by and by someday, but right here in the land of the living. Lovely people, till we meet again, same time, on the same channel. It's been a pleasure being with you. Have a great Sunday, and bye for now.
Hey. cost of the oil in my alabaster box. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my the wonder of His touch. So now I'm giving back to Him all the praise He's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love Him so much. And I've come to pour my praise on Him like all. Don't be angry if I wash His feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. But hey, you are there. The night Jesus found me, you did not feel what I felt when He wrapped His loving arms around me.
Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.